News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
A lot of you are flocking to the cinema to see a great new movie called Small Things Like This. Of course, it stars Cillian Murphy, who picked up an Oscar last year for Oppenheimer. He's in this new movie and it's doing quite well commercially so far. It's about the Magdalen Laundries, but according to my next guest, it offers a simplistic view of 1980s Ireland. And my guest is Sunday Independent columnist David Quinn. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. David, I mean, a lot of people will say, quite simply, we know the Magdalen Laundries existed. There was institutional care in Ireland. We have endless reports from reputable government agencies outlining what happened in these places. So how is it unrealistic?
Well, I mean, my main point is about the 80s in general. And it's not about the existence of particular institutions. It's what was life like for people, particularly people growing up. And I was one of them in the 1980s.
So was I.
Yep. So this movie was set in 1985. Big reveal, I was 22 then. I was in university. And in the movie, with the second Hugh Ross in 1985, everybody is still terrified of the church, and particularly of the local nuns, and particularly of the terrifying Sister Mary, who's a fictional character, who's the head of the convent to which the Magdalen Laundry is attached. And they're all terrified that if anybody defies the nuns, there'll be dire consequences. And so Bill Furlong is played by Cillian Murphy. He's been told by his wife, don't do anything about what's going on in there, because if you do, there'll be terrible consequences for her daughters. There's two of them already in convent school, and there'll be three more. So say nothing, and he's warned by a publican about the consequences of his business. And the whole thing is very bleak. It looks Dickensian. It doesn't look like the 1980s. It barely even looks like the 1950s. In some parts, it looks like the 1850s, like it's set in Dickens' London or something like that. And so I'm looking at that, and I've read the book as well. I'm thinking, is that how life was in the 1980s? It might have been to some people, but it would have been a very small minority. Because for me and my contemporaries, male and female, and this is right through school, right to university, right through my neighbourhood, most people aren't thinking about the church much at all. It simply wasn't a big dark cloud in our lives. We weren't terrified that the priests and the nuns were getting in the way of our freedom and our enjoyments. The main things that were on our minds, and insofar as we discussed current affairs, wasn't the church. It was Charlie Hottie versus Gareth Fitzgerald, who was.
But David, come on. We had two massive socially important referendums. I was in a religiously run school in the 80s. Corporal punishment was still in place. I can personally testify to that. Certainly in my school, and I can testify to that personally. But the other point is, it's a Clare Keegan novel. It's a piece of dramatic work. Why do the filmmakers have any obligation to recreate that world exactly as you personally remember it?
Two things to be said there. I mean, one is, like, in the discussions I've been hearing about this and interviews with people like Cillian Murphy, they seem to be passing off the movie as in some way an accurate depiction of life in general, for people in general, in the 1980s. There's this terrible fear, this all-pervasive fear, and I just don't recognise that as true, not in 1985.
But Clare Keegan, the novelist, that's how she wants to write about it. Does it matter how David Quinn feels about it?
Well, it doesn't matter particularly how I feel about it, but it does matter if people are running around saying this is how life was in the 1980s. That's my point. My point is simply, it is not how life was for the majority of people, certainly young people, in the 1980s. The church was not some kind of looming presence in the 1980s. And by the way, the 1980s...
Your view. Hmm? In your personal view, I mean, obviously I've got a lot of people saying that's not how they remember it. A lot of women saying that's not how we remember it. Of course, David Quinn would remember it that way. So it's personal, in other words. It's personal.
Well, no, I don't think it is simply personal. I'm talking about my observations of my contemporaries, both male and female. I saw little enough getting in the way of my friends and my contemporaries and their pleasures back in the 1980s. A lot of people were having an awful lot of fun. We had things like Slane Castle, for example. The pubs would be crowded. There was a great music scene. As I say, the things we would be talking about, we're talking about current affairs, to say, was Charlie Hockey versus Gareth Fitzgerald. Obviously,
but David,
the IRA,
all of those things, I was there too, right? All of those things may be true, but certainly the church was also loomed as well in a lot of people's lives. I mean, both can be true. Yes, we were at Slane, and yes, we were doing all these other things you're talking about. But again, I come back to the original point. It's Clare Keegan's novel. They've recreated it for cinematic performance. That's it. I mean, that's her book.
Well, that'd be fine if it was it, but again, they're trying to make more general points about life in the 1980s. You see, yes, there were the two referendums in the 1980s. There was one about abortion and the one about divorce. But, like, there were 2-1 majorities in both of those things. I mean, like, that was the Democratic will that the 8th Amendment gets passed and Gareth's divorce referendum gets beaten. That was a 2-1 majority, and some people didn't like that. I didn't like the 2-1 majority in favour of abortion back in
But David, do you not remember the moving statues of Ballinasbittle, the Anne Lovett at the Grotto? I mean, these were these were big stories that ran on for months on end. I mean, maybe you missed them, but they were big stories.
Yeah, but now we're kind of shifting the conversation around from, well, maybe small things like these are not simply a fictional story set in New Ross in 1985. By the way, the magazine and laundry in that town closed in 1967, so it was 18 years before. So why it's been set in New Ross in 1985 is beyond me. It would have been much more realistic to be setting that in the 1980s. But again, like the moving statue thing is a religious expression by some people in that town that Dubliners laughed at. I laughed
at it. No, just saying it was a story. It was there. You started the interview by saying none of these things were big deals or they weren't prominent.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still... Again, people, an awful lot of people were laughing at that. I mean, you must remember that as well.
Sure.
And this is not something that was affecting the lives of ordinary people in any way, shape or form. I mean, most of my contemporaries by the time they went to university had stopped going to mass. They might go and they went home at the weekends to their parents sometimes, if they were going home. Most of the people, you know, who I would know in university weren't Dubliners like me. They were from the country. So there's a very broad cross-section of people.
Listen, David, I'm going to have to leave the debate to be argued out in other forums. For the moment, Sunday Independent columnist David.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.